The Holy Gospel according to the first chapter of Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. Very important celebration in the church here. And as I was reading some things about him, can you imagine what it would be like if John the Baptizer were pastor of this congregation today? And I wondered, who would run away first, us or John the Baptist? Because as we read the description of John, it seems that he would have been a very hard man to get along with. He could never come to our home for dinner because he ate only wild locust and honey, and nobody today eats wild locust, is it? And he never drank, so he wouldn't have been any good at the cocktail party. And he was loud, and he was calling out, so he must have been obnoxious. And his dress, camel's hair, and he was always preaching repentance, always. So John doesn't come across as a very attractive man. He doesn't come across as someone who we would call here as a pastor at St. Paul. And yet, the scriptures tell us this morning, he was a man sent by God, and his name was John. So John was sent by God with a specific job to do, and that job was to prepare the way for the Lord. John was sent by God to get people ready for the arrival of his son, Jesus Christ. His purpose was given to him by God, and God expected him to do what he wanted him to do. God put him in the right place at the right time to do that job. Now, you know, our purpose in life is given to us by God just as well. He's put us in the right place at the right time to do that job he expects us to do, and he expects us to obey him as well as he did John. And when we do, he promises to fulfill his purpose for us. And so as John prepared the way for the Lord, he did a lot of preaching about sin. Now, we're told a lot of times today it's too late for fire and brimstone. We don't need to hear that. We only need to hear God's love. Well, John called the people who came out to hear him vipers. And he condemned their insincere religion. Bear fruits that befit repentance, John would shout to the people. Don't just say you're sorry for your sins. Show it. John wasn't trying to humiliate anybody. He was trying to shake them out of themselves, out of believing in themselves and their own good works. He wanted to show them, and he wanted to show us today, just how desperately we need a Savior. And once he had shown the sin, he pointed out the solution by pointing to Jesus, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But from John, they also heard about God's redeeming love. Now, sin is as valid today as it was in John's day. Sin has never stopped being a problem in this world. It remains today as a part of every human life. But the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ still begins with the bad news of sin. There's many who don't preach much about sin anymore. They preach about God's love. And we need to preach about God's love as much as possible. But God's love has no meaning whatsoever if we don't preach about sin. So often, we mistakenly see God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ as too simple and too easy and maybe too impossible. The non-Christian people say it is impossible. Who in the world would ever do something like that? And you know, we think so ourselves. What a great system we have. I sin, God forgives. I sin, God forgives. I sin, God forgives. It's a mistake to make light of sin. Jesus thought it was some pretty serious stuff. And in some miracles, we get the distinct impression that he thought it was our greatest problem. Jesus always forgave sin first. And then he healed the sickness. And as bad as any sickness is, sin is far worse because sin kills. There's something that's not right going on today. Today, instead of calling sin, sin, we've developed a tendency and a way to sugarcoat the problem with our language. Sin has all of a sudden become a cultural revolution. Killing babies before they're born to a lot of people is not a sin, but it's a result of our cultural revolution. Today, we suffer from an erosion of respectability for authority. Nobody wants to respect authority anymore. Children don't respect their parents. They don't respect their teachers or anyone else. And adults don't respect their boss. They don't respect their spouse or government officials. And we've certainly seen untold too much of that on television these last months. This is not a cultural problem. It's a spiritual problem. And friends, one of the worst signs of sin in our lives today is that we almost never stop to ask if something is right or if something is wrong. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. We have this cultural need. The only thing we ask is, does it feel good? Oh, is it convenient for me? Is it easy? Paul wrote a catalog of sins, and he wrote it to describe the Roman society in those so many years ago. And he wrote it to show what was happening back then. And we see it hadn't changed a whole lot today. Wickedness, evil, malice, envy, murder, armed robbery, deceit, gossip, slander, hatred of God, haughtiness, faithlessness, heartlessness. Oh my goodness, these aren't cultural dilemmas. They're flat out sin. John preached repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And repentance is nothing less than owning up to the reality of our sinfulness and turning around away from sin and going back to Jesus. True repentance is a turning away from the careless attitude about sin. Repentance means turning away from believing that sin is not a problem and confessing that it is indeed a big problem. It's our problem, yours and mine. In John's day, the unrepentant who came to see him were the Pharisees. And they said they didn't need to repent. They didn't have any sins. But the repentant were all of those who confessed their sins. It does no good to pretend that sin is not real and to try to cover it up. Adam and Eve tried to hide from their first sin. They hoped God wouldn't see them. They tried to cover up their nakedness. They tried to cover their sin with fig leaves. But the fig leaves didn't work. They didn't do the job. There is no way to deny the reality of sin. But when we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, and in his grace, he forgives us. He covers our nakedness. He covers our sin with the sparkling robe of Jesus Christ's righteousness. Grace is not cheap. Grace is never cheap. Our sins are terrible, and they're destructive acts that brings harm into God's world. They bring harm to ourselves, and they surely bring harm to our families and harm to our friends and harm to what it means to be a child of God. John's baptism was for those people who had repented of their sins. You and I didn't see the heavens open up that day we were baptized. We didn't even hear a voice. But our baptism is precious to us just the same. It tells us we're loved. It tells us that we're forgiven. It tells us that we can make a new beginning because God lives in us who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. And we know that there is no way that we can hide from God. We don't even try. We confess. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And mercy is exactly what God gives us for the sake of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. In his precious name, we thank God for such mercy so freely given to you and to me. Amen.